بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. أما بعد، إن شاء الله to begin the program we will start with أشعار which will be rendered from the beautiful voice of our Maulana Ahmad Dr. Hassan.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن شاء الله we'll be reading a few couplets from the famous قصيدة برده شريف of علامة بوسيدي رحمة الله عليه. إن شاء الله we'll just translate a few of these couplets إن شاء الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم. O my Allah, O my Rabb, send durood, salutations and greetings forever and ever upon your beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the best of all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, the leader of both worlds and both creation, in other words, men and jinnat, and both groups, Arabs and non-Arabs. أَمِنْ تَذَكُّرِ جِيرَانٍ بِذِي سَلَمٍ مَزَجْتَ دَمْعًا جَرَامٍ مُقُلَةٍ بِدَمِ. Are the tears mixed with blood flowing from your eyes due to your remembrance of the Salam, a place near Medina Munawwara? هُوَ الْحَبِيبُ الَّذِي تُرْجَى شَفَاعَتُهُ لِكُلِّ هَوْلٍ مِّنَ الْأَهْوَالِ مُقْتَحِمِ. He is the most beloved, whose intercession is hoped for every fear and distress that is going to come on the day of agony and fear. فَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ فِي خَلْقٍ وَفِي خُلُقٍ وَلَمْ يُدَانُوهُ فِي عِلْمٍ وَلَا كَرَمٍ. Our beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam transcends, he exceeds the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam physically and in his noble character. None of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam can reach his knowledge and his noble character. كَالزَّهْرِ فِي تَرَفٍ وَالْبَدْرِ فِي شَرَفٍ وَالْبَحْرِ فِي كَرَمٍ وَالْدَهْرِ فِي هِمَمٍ. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam is like a blooming flower in its freshness, and like the moon when it is in its full splendor, and like the ocean in generosity, and his fearless courage is like time. وَالْآلِ وَالصَّحْبِ ثُمَّ التَّابِعِينَ فَهُمْ أَهْلِ التُّقَى وَالنُّقَى وَالْحِلْمِ وَالْكَرَمِ. And upon his family members, his sahaba radiallahu anhum, the companions, those who follow them, undoubtedly, they are the people of piety, the people of knowledge, mercy, and generosity. ثُمَّ الرِّضَى عَنْ أَبِي بَكْرِ وَعَنْ عُمَرَ وَعَنْ عَلِيِّ وَعَنْ عُثْمَانَ ذِي الْكَرَمِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, Uthman, Ali radiallahu anhuma. ذِي الْكَرَمِ فَغْفِرْ لِنَاشِدِهَا وَغْفِرْ لِقَارِئِهَا. O Allah, forgive its writer, forgive its reader. سألتك الخير يا ذا الجود والكرم. We ask you, O Allah, for all goodness, and you are the most generous, the most bountiful.
الحمد لله منشي الخلق من عدمي، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أمن تذكري جيران بذي سلام مزجت دمعا جرى من مقلاة بدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. فاق النبيين في خلق وفي خلق ولم يدانوه في علم ولا كرم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. كالزهر في تراف والبدر في شراف والبحر في كرام والدهر فيه مامي. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. والآل والصحب ثم التابعين لهم أهل التقى والنقى والحلم والكرم. ثم الرضا عن أبي بكر وعن عمر وعن عثمان وعن علي ذي الكرام. فاغفر لي ناشديها واغفر لي قارئيها. فاغفر لي ناشديها واغفر لي قارئيها. سألتك الخير يا ذا الجود والكرام. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. صلى الله عليه
وسلم. جزاكم الله خير أحسن الجزاء. May Allah Tabarakala bless us all. Although we are not at all worthy of it, to be able to stand also on the day of Qiyamah in the court of the lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of those people who somehow expressed their love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was that group who expressed it with their blood, with their lives. There was those that with their poems, their words. Allah Tabarakala left a very easy system for all of us, which is called following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is a very easy way. It's an external. It doesn't really show our internal is anything clean at all. But even this external in following the sunnah, Almighty Allah has accepted it with open hands. And it has put those people in the front line of the lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah tabarakallah make us all from among those people. Allah tabarakallah in the Quran Kareem says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة O believers, enter into Islam and submission completely. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ And do not follow the footsteps of Shaitan. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ Surely he is your open enemy. This verse commands us to enter into complete Islam. This means that we should accept every law and adopt it practically. By adopting any other path, we will be following in the footsteps of Shaitan. Islam refers to a complete system of life, which has been mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. This includes our beliefs, aqaid, formal acts of worship, ibadat, monetary dealings, muamalat, social etiquette, muasharat, and character, akhlaq. When all of these are found within a person, his Islam will then be complete. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Noble character dissolves sins just as salt dissolves ice. And evil character destroys worship just as vinegar destroys honey. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, The most beloved to me and the one closest to me in the year after will be the one whose character is good, and the one most disliked by me, and the most furthest from me in the year after, will be the one whose character is evil. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, He who is deprived of softness, has been deprived of all goodness. May Almighty Allah bless us with noble character, and may Almighty Allah give us all complete Islam. Inshallah, we will call upon Mawlana Yusuf Qaji from Yalta.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم أما بعد قال الله عز وجل بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن السمع والبصر والفؤاد كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Alhamdulillah, all praise is due only unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Allah, we glorify Allah. In that Allah through His infinite grace and endless mercies has bestowed upon us many, many favors, many, many ni'mats Allah has bestowed upon us. And regarding these ni'mats and these favors, On the day of Qiyamah, we will be questioned. As we read in Surah Al-Takathur, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ That most definitely on that day, you will be questioned with regards to the bounties and the favors and the ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says, That on that day we will be reminded about all these ni'mats, about all these blessings and favors. The ni'mat of the body, the health, the ni'mat of eyesight, the ni'mat of hearing. We will be reminded about all these ni'mats. And then we will be questioned as to how we utilize these ni'mats. Did we utilize it in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or did we utilize it in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we will be questioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادِ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا Whether it is the hearing, whether it is the eyesight, whether it is the heart, كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا We will be questioned regarding all these ni'mats, all these favors that Allah has bestowed upon us. Beloved elders and dear brothers, if we look at these ni'mats, from amongst all these ni'mats, from amongst all these blessings, One great ni'mat, one great blessing is the blessing of eyesight, the ability to see. You can ask a blind man, he will tell you what is the value of this eyesight. This eye that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, as we heard Hazrat Maulana Yunus Dayasab, Tawad Barakatuh, mention yesterday, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. If you want to know the greatness of Allah, if you want to gain the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't have to look anywhere, look in yourself. Look at this one ni'mat of the eye. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا. If you were to count one ni'mat, ni'mat Allah, you will be unable to do so. Because in every ni'mat there are so many other ni'mat. Now if we have to study the eye is such a unique creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is said that the most fastest contracting muscle in the human body is the eye. The fastest contracting muscle in the human body is the eye. It contracts at less than 1/100th of a second. That is where Allah mentions when it comes to the sin of the eye. Allah says, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ. Allah knows that mistrust, that khiyanat of the eye, because it's so quick. People around you cannot see you looking at haram, because it is so quick. So therefore Allah says it is khiyanat. Allah knows the mistrust of the eye. So the fastest contracting muscle in the human body is the eye. It is also said that in 1 second, a person can focus on 50 different objects with this eye. Like we are sitting here, you can see the window, you can see the carpet, you can see the paint. In 1 second, 50 different objects your eye can focus on. This is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is also said that with this human eye, a person can distinguish 10 million different colors. Subhanallah. What a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just one eye. This eye is connected to the brain with the optic nerve. The eye is connected to the brain. In this optic nerve, there's 1 million nerve cells. Allahu Akbar. This is the qudrat of Allah. We have to appreciate and value the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only way we can make shukr and appreciate the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by utilizing that ni'mat in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By us utilizing that ni'mat in the disobedience of Allah, we have made na-shukri of that ni'mat. So beloved elders and dear brothers, the question is, how must we utilize the eyes? How do we utilize the eyes in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah is so compassionate, so merciful, that when we will utilize that eye in the obedience of Allah, Allah will reward us for that. We find in the hadith to the effect that when a person or a child looks at his parents with the gaze of love, with the gaze of mercy, with the gaze of compassion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him the reward of one accepted hajj. Just one gaze of love and mercy towards the parents. The sahaba inquired, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, what if a person has to look at his parents 100 times like this? Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, the khazana and the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unlimited. Allah will grant the reward of 100 accepted hajj. In one hadith we read, on the authority of Hazrat Muawiyah bin Haydar radiallahu anhu, he makes mention that three eyes will not see the fire of Jahannam. Three eyes will not see the fire of Jahannam. That eye that remains awake, guarding the saman of the jamaat, of the army that is out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That eye will not see the fire of Jahannam. That eye that sheds a tear out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that eye will not see the fire of Jahannam. And that eye that is lowered and abstains from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, lowering of the gaze, that eye will not see the fire of Jahannam. So Allah will protect a person from the fire of Jahannam if he protects his eyes, if he controls his eyes. Beloved elders and dear brothers, it is extremely important that we learn to control our eyes. We learn to protect our eyes. Today we are living in such a zamana. We are living in such a time. Like Hazrat Maulana mentioned last night, that families are breaking up. Marriages are breaking up because of the high level of shamelessness, because of the high level of behayai. And this behayai and shamelessness, immodesty, is coming about because we are living in the zaman of technology. Whether it is the internet, whether it is a cell phone, whether it is pornography, this is all the things that is causing the breakdown of families and the breakdown of marriages. Beloved elders and dear brothers, whether it is young or old, male or female, the zamana is such that people are involved in such dark deeds of immorality that it is affecting every person, it is affecting the society. So we need to ask the question, what is the cause? What is the root cause of all this? And we have to say Jazakumullah to our mashayikh and our akabirin who have kept their hand on the pulse of the ummah. And they have looked at the condition of the ummah with the eye of their heart. And that heart which is enlightened with Quran and Hadith, that heart which is burning with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our mashayikh and our akabirin have diagnosed the root cause of all this. And they have told us that the root cause of all this is the deadly disease of the sin of the eye. Bad nazri, zina of the eyes. Today it is not regarded as a major sin. Today it is so common that people don't even regard it as gunai kabira. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali used to say that sometimes the sin outwardly doesn't look like a major sin, but the effect that it has on the heart is so detrimental that a person can lose his iman. Beloved elders and dear brothers, if we study the hadith with regards to bad nazri, Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam makes mention that a lustful glance, an evil glance, is a poisonous arrow from the arrows of shaitan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned poisonous arrow. And a poisonous arrow, the effect is such that it will hit the target, and that wound will take so long to heal. So when that glance, an evil and lustful glance, it will take a long time for that person to repay his iman. Beloved elders and dear brothers, our Dada Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, who spent his entire life for the purification of the nafs, in one of his bayanat, he makes mention of 14 harms with regard to this evil glance and this lustful glance. We will make mention of a few, just for us to understand how harmful the sin is and what effect it has on our iman. Hazrat says the first harm is the disobedience of Allah. When a person will cast a lustful glance, an evil glance, he is in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the Quran, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. O Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, tell the mu'mineen, tell the believing men, يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, they must lower their gaze. By you not lowering your gaze, you are opposing the ayah of the Quran. And as soon as you oppose the ayah of the Quran, you are going against the command of Allah. You are in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us. The second harm is that this eye, as we mentioned, is an amanah. It is a ni'mah from Allah. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ. Allah knows the khiyanat of the eye. So when you are casting that evil glance, you are breaching the trust. That is the second harm. You are breaching the trust, this amanah that Allah has given you. You are using it in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third harm is that you become the subject of the curse of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. لَعْنَ اللَّهُ النَّاظِرَ وَالْمَنْذُورَ إِلَيْهِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may the curse of Allah be upon the one who is looking and the one who is looked upon. And when the curse of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam comes upon you, what chance do we have? What is the curse? A curse is when you are distant from the rahmat of Allah, when you are distant from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all need the mercy of Allah. By us involving ourselves in this guna, we are distancing ourselves from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth harm which is mentioned by Hazrat, he says that this is an act of foolishness. This is an act of stupidity. Any guna, Hazrat says, any guna, any sin is an act of foolishness, is an act of stupidity. Because we need to understand that when you are disobeying Allah, you need to understand who are you disobeying. That being in whose hands our life and death, that being in whose hands is wealth and poverty, health and sickness, everything is in the control of Allah. So how can you disobey such a being? So your act is an act of foolishness. And Hazrat says that the act, the criminal act of zina of the eyes, is extreme foolishness. Because what do you achieve by looking at that strange woman with lust? You achieve nothing but restlessness. You achieve nothing but hasrat in your heart. That's all you achieve. Hazrat Maulana, our honorable Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Sulaiman Choksi, Damat Barakatum, gave a very beautiful example to make us understand that looking at haram, looking at this haram woman, strange woman, with an evil eye, with a lustful glance, is of no benefit to you. He gives the example of a lion in the zoo. That the entire day the lion is in the zoo, people are coming, they're behind the cage, they are looking at the lion. The lion is telling himself, I want to kill you, I want to eat you. But he can't do anything. All he can do is look. At the end of the day, the zookeeper is going to give that lion whatever food is there for that lion. Similar is our condition. The entire day you are looking at strange women. You can't do nothing. You're not going to attain her. That heart is going to be restless. So it is an act of extreme foolishness. We need to abstain from looking at that which Allah has forbidden. How do we do it? How must we do it? Our kabirin, our mashayikh have given us guidelines to assist us in staying away from this guna. The first thing they mention is that we must make a firm intention, a firm resolution. It has to come from us that I am not going to involve myself in this guna. No amount of bayan, no amount of books is going to help you. The bayan can be given, you can read the books, but if it does not come from inside, if you don't make that intention and that firm resolution, then you are not going to stay away from it. So it has to come from inside. It has to come from us. And we have to make that intention that, oh Allah, I need to stay away from this guna. Please assist me. Please help me. Then the help of Allah will come and we will show that we are eager to stay away from this guna. Secondly, very important is for us to control our eyes in salah. If we will control our eyes in salah, Allah will make it easy for us to control our eyes out of salah. So when we are standing in qiyam, we have to look at the place of sajda. When we are in ruku, to look at our toes. When we are in sajda, to look at the tip of our nose. When we are in qa'da, to look at our lap. If we will control our eyes in salah, Allah will give us the ability to control our eyes out of salah. The third method in controlling our gaze is to practice on the verse of the Quran, يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Lower your gaze. Today they say you mustn't lower it too much also. You lower too much also, you still see things. So lower the gaze as is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will be assisted in staying away from this guna. The fourth one, we have seen our asatiza and our kabirin, that whenever they went into the marketplaces, they always had a rumal with them and they covered their face. They covered in such a way that their eyes did not stray. So let us see how we can bring this in our life so that we can stay away from this deadly disease, the zina of the eyes. In conclusion, as our Hazrat always says, and he has mentioned in one of his bayan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us honor. Allah has given us dignity, which in Urdu is known as sharafat. Let us not make this sharafat because of our sins and because of casting evil glances. Let us not make this sharafat a shir and an afat, an evil and a calamity. Let us keep our honor, let us keep our sharafat, our dignity, by being in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and staying away from this guna of casting an evil glance at that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. The dua of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, let us make it regularly. Allahumma attahhir qulubana min al-nifaq wa a'malana min al-riya wa al-sinatana min al-kadhib wa a'yunana min al-khiyana. Oh Allah, cleanse our hearts of hypocrisy. Oh Allah, cleanse our a'mal of riya. Oh Allah, cleanse our tongues of lies. And oh Allah, cleanse our eyes of mistrust and of khiyanat. فَإِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. For oh Allah, you are the knower. You know the mistrust of the eyes and you know what is in the heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a true understanding, and more than understanding, give us the ability to practice. Ameen wa akhiru da'wah.
جزاكم الله أحسن الجزاء. Continuing with an explanation regarding akhlaq, noble characteristics which need to be imbibed are repentance, patience, gratitude, fear and hope in Almighty Allah, disinclination from the world, modesty, trust in Almighty Allah, love of Almighty Allah, desire to meet Almighty Allah, sincerity, worshipping Almighty Allah according to the Sunnah, visualizing that Almighty Allah is always watching, taking stock of one's good and evil actions daily, pondering over the creation of Almighty Allah, fulfilling of promises, humility, mercy, compassion, rada bil qada, to be pleased with Almighty Allah's decision, tawakkul, trust in Almighty Allah, forbearance, handing over matters to Almighty Allah, and conviction. Evil characteristics which have to be eradicated are vanity, pride, carrying tales, malice, jealousy, excessive and uncontrollable anger, desiring evil for someone, thinking evil of someone, love of the world, the habit of engaging in useless and impermissible speech, backbiting, lies, stinginess, show, ostentation, excess lust, evil glancing, and love for those prohibited. There's a lot to be done in the short life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability. Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimullah, he would explain all of this. But at the ending he would mention that I tell you, in this era, if you can come onto one effort, one jihad, one sacrifice, and that is the sacrificing of this eye, not looking at what our inside wants to look. He would say, I guarantee you the crown of the friendship of Almighty Allah, Allah will put it himself on your head, meaning everything else will come in the package. May Allah Ta'ala grant us this ability to live with a pure eye, to die with a pure eye. Inshallah, now we will call Mufti Nazir Minti from Flagstaff.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wassalamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du, fa'audhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم وقال تبارك وتعالى ولا تمدن عينيك إلى ما متعنا به أزواجا منهم زهرة الحياة الدنيا لنفتنهم فيه ورزق ربك خير وأبقى وعن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال زنا العين النظر أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا محمدا صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم بما هو أهله. Honorable ulama ikram, respected elders, brothers and friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put many different trials and tribulations for men to go through in this life, so that ultimately in the end he can become successful and earn Jannah. Amongst those trials and tribulations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put wealth, has put position, fame, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put beauty. There are various different situations. Allah has put health. Through these, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests people in different situations. But our discussion today is this beauty which we talk of in regards to the eye, and the emphasis that has been put by our Kabir as well is the tragedy of the time of the day, unfortunately. If we come to really understand, the eye perceives the beauty of an object, and that perception is turned into a thought, and that thought translates into a desire. So basically what the eye sees eventually becomes a desire in men. Shaykh Abu al-Hassan al-Kharkani, rahimahullah, was questioned, was asked, that why is it that in today's time we have so much wasawis, we have so much evil thoughts in our hearts? He replied that until we will not be able to purify what the eye sees, the thought, then these wasawis will keep on bombarding us. That is, until we will not be able to control our gazes, the wasawis will keep on coming. And naturally so, the more we see, then the more the heart desires. And this is not only confined to young people. This is such a thing, it's such an evil, that many people in their old age also are victims to this. It is mentioned regarding a very elderly person who was close to 85, 90 years old. And he came to one of the akabirin and he mentioned that, alhamdulillah, all my namazas are intact, my adhkar are intact, I make charity, I do everything. But I cannot control this eye of mine. As Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib just said now, the khiyanat of this eye, I am a victim to it. And I thought as life goes, I will become stronger in faith and iman, and I'll be able to overcome it. But now I've come to realize, as I'm getting older, my senses, my resistance is becoming weaker. Both physically, and I'm not being able to even control it. It is the malady or the disease has become worse. So a person must not think that if I grow, become older, it will come out of me. If he cannot get it out now, if he becomes older, it will become more difficult. And our akabir have shown us ways that to get rid of this disease, there needs to be an effort. We have to learn to make an effort. Like how we learn to do everything else, we will need to learn to make an effort. And many a times we think that the evil eye is only in looking or evil glances at women or maybe young lads, etc. No. Our ulama have written and they have proven from this ayah of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِّنْهُمْ زَهْرَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا لِنَفْتِنَهُمْ فِيهِ. That do not stretch your eyes on all the beautiful things of this world. These things are there as a test for you. For example, we men, when we see a Ferrari, then we start marveling at it. Or now we look at it, we go around it, we look inside, we look under, we look on top. Then tomorrow we want to look at a Maserati, then we want to look at something else. And we think it's no harm in it. Outwardly is no harm, but the nafs is becoming weaker because the desire for these things is coming into our heart. Likewise, technology, we say there's no harm. Yes, indeed, outwardly there's no harm, but we are becoming slaves to these things. A person has a beautiful house and he starts marveling at that house. There is no harm in building that house if Allah has given him the wealth to do that. But now that house and the beauty of that house comes into the heart. When a person starts marveling at that, his nazar becomes weak. So as he goes and he starts looking at all these beautiful things which Allah has placed in this world as a test, his heart becomes weaker, his desire becomes stronger. Ultimately, when he sees a beautiful woman, or when he sees a woman not necessarily beautiful, he cannot control himself because the heart has been filled already with desires. The heart has already become weak with desires. So we need to learn from our akabir how to control and how to bring this condition in us to be able to control our gaze. It is mentioned from Sayyid Ibn al-Musayyib rahimahullah, on one occasion somebody asked him that, did you ever look at a non-mahram woman? He says, leave alone a non-mahram woman, I did not even look into the face of an oppressor, a zalim.
I was fearing that maybe the effect of that oppression will come into me and I will oppress somebody. Hisan ibn Abi Sinan was a great imam and khatib in one of the masajid. On one occasion when he came home, and when he entered, he had a smile on his face. Like we heard yesterday, you must not smile in front of your wife. You don't know what they take it to be. So the wife immediately asked him, "You smile, you must have seen somebody. Why is it that today is such a unique smile you have on your face?" So he says, she says, "Take an oath and tell me who you saw." So he says, "By Allah, I take an oath, from the time I left the masjid till the time I came home, I saw nothing but my 2 feet. I don't know who I passed and I don't know what passed me." This was the effort they had, this was the concern they had, and this was the manner in which they conducted themselves, so that they could safeguard their eyes and the perception and the desires that enter the heart and the mind. It is mentioned regarding Khaja Bakhtiyar Kaki rahimahullah, that before his demise he made a wasiyah that that person should read the janaza salah, my janaza salah, and he stipulated a few conditions. He says that person who from the time he became baligh, he never missed a tahajjud salah. That person who from the time he became baligh did not miss the 4 sunnahs of asr. Yesterday we heard the benefit of it. And that person who from the time he became baligh did not gaze at a non-mahram woman. And the conditions were very, very difficult, very tight. After the ghusl was given and the janaza was brought into the Jami Masjid of Delhi around the time of tahajjud to fajr, and the conditions were mentioned, there was a gathering of over 200,000-300,000 people. Amongst 70,000-80,000 were ulama, huffaz, muhaddithin, fuqaha, but none dared come forward. Until the time of Asr, eventually the king of the time, Sultan Sifu rahimahullah, came forward and he said, "O Bakhtiyar Kaki, you've exposed me to the people today." And he performed the salah. So this was the condition of our akabir and our leaders of the past, to what extent they went in exerting themselves and making an effort to control themselves. The harms of not being able to control ourselves. Ibn Jawzi rahimahullah mentions that a person who continuously, a jayid hafiz of the Quran, who continuously was in this habit of casting lustful glances, ultimately in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed the kalam from his heart. He forgot the Quran. They say the muazzin, Ibn Jawzi writes, that there was a muazzin, for many, many years, he used to give azan. And we know a person who gives azan, what a great reward there is for it. But the disease of casting lustful glances were very deeply rooted in the heart. In the end, when it came to his time, his demise, he started saying the kalima of kufr. And people could not understand this man, why at this point of time? And when they asked some of the Ahlullah of the time, they mentioned that he was in a habit and he used to enjoy casting lustful glances. And because of that, at this point of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprived him of iman. On the other hand, a person who is in the habit, or who a person who makes an effort and tries and control his lustful glances, in Hadith al-Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يَجِدُ حَلَاوَتَهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him such iman that the pleasure of that iman, the taste and the sweetness of that iman, he will experience in the bosom of his heart. And Mullah Ali Qari goes on to expound and he says, once a person experiences the sweetness and pleasure in his heart of Iman, it is a sign that inshallah he will leave with Iman in this world. So these are such important aspects of life. How do we get to be able to control our gazes? Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmanullah Damal Barakatum has mentioned few important points. But amongst them, reciting the Quran in abundance and looking into the Quran in reciting. That looking into the Quran has got its own effect in barakah. And also making the azkar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being in the company of those who make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned in a kitab that in Delhi, on one occasion, some people saw a very strange phenomenon. What they saw was, we all know that dogs are generally very territorial. They have their areas. This muhalla, these few dogs, that muhalla, these few dogs. But there was this one dog who used to roam about throughout the streets of Delhi, and whichever territory he used to go in, all the other dogs used to follow him. So, one Ahlullah observed this and he said this is very strange. And they needed to know why is this happening. So when they came and they tried to find out, a person who was one of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to them that a great wali of Allah, after he was making his zikr, his ibadah, and when he turned around his gaze, that noor that emitted from them fell on the eyes of this dog. And the barakat of it is such that all the dogs have made this dog the imam. Now imagine if the eyes of Ahlullah fall on us, if we are in their company, it can transform our lives. Hazrat Masihul Ummat, Mawlana Masihullah Sahib, Nawarallahu Marqadahu, used to always say, کہ نہ کتابوں سے نہ ذروں سے نہ صحیفوں سے وہ علم ملتا ہے جو بزرگانی دن کی نظروں سے ملتا ہے. That a person can make how much effort, but he will not necessarily get that knowledge as when he will get it from the nazar and the looks of the awliya Allah, sitting in the company of the awliya Allah. حضرت ثانی نور اللہ مرقدہ مجدد ملت رحمہ اللہ mentions in one of his kitabs, At-Tasharuf Bimarifati Ahadith At-Tasawuf, wherein he says that looking at the Ahlullah in itself is the source of expiation of one's sins. And achieving the marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat substantiates from a hadith which was quoted by or which was narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud from Imran ibn Hasin rahimahullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And this hadith has it mentioned, and it says the Quran's ayah says innal hasanat yuzhibna sayyat, that when a person does good a'mal, it wipes out the bad a'mal. Sitting in the company of the awliya and looking at their mubarak faces, that in itself is hasanat, and the barakat of that is it expiates your sins. When your sins is expiated, you get the nur and you get the tawfiq of making amal on those a'mal which are beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many times people question and people ask that those were the awliya of those days. Where do we get that on those people today? Which is a very bad notion, which is a very wrong notion. One of our ustaz used to always tell us, Main tumhara Anwar Shah Kashmiri hoon. میں تمہارا انور شاہ کشمیری ہوں اور کل کے لیے تم انور شاہ کشمیری بنو گے. That if we appreciate our akabir, our awliya, our ahlullah, our shuyukh and our shaykh, and we regard them as the Anwar Shah Kashmiris of our time, we will get the same benefit how those people were benefited in those days. And a time will come when we will become, or we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will make us the torch bearers for the people to come afterwards. If today you look and you want to find people like the Sahaba, respected brothers and friends, the Sahaba were a special breed. They were made for Rasulullah. They were made for Rasulullah. If we had to be in that time today, wallah, we would not even know what our condition of our iman would be. So we are made for our time, and our akabirin are made for us. We need to appreciate them. We need to appreciate their presence in us, and we need to take full benefit from them. And without any hesitation, without any doubt, we need to throw ourselves into their lap, into their hands. And those that tawajjuh and that nazar which they will make will inshallah transform our lives for the good, for this dunya and the akhirat, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the realization and the understanding that we have to make an effort. Nothing comes without an effort. And for this also, a special effort is needed. And may Allah ta'ala steer us in the right direction so that we become amongst those who achieve the great benefit of making that effort in that line, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana.
جزاكم الله أحسن الجزاء. Almighty Allah states, successful is he who has purified his nafs, and unsuccessful is the one who soiled it with evil and vice. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily in the body there is a piece of flesh. If that piece is correct, the entire body will be correct. If that piece is corrupt, the entire body will be corrupt. Behold, it is the heart. Firstly, it is necessary to acquire knowledge of the evil and noble characteristics. If a person does not realize that he is sick, he will never take treatment. After realizing one's illness, one needs to remedy that sickness. It is the system of Almighty Allah in this world to utilize means. Just as a physically ill person needs to go to a doctor for treatment, a spiritually ill person also needs to proceed to a spiritual doctor for treatment. Actually, there is a greater need for the following reasons. We will continue later. But the crux of the following reasons is that first to recognize what is the sickness, what is the way. Muftisab in his bayan mentioned, many a time our mind picks up on one point. Muftisab was making a joke when he said, when you go home, don't smile at your wife. Some people will pick up that point. And the one point that they will go back and they won't smile. What Muftisab meant was, don't smile suddenly. Explain to her why you are coming happy. Allah Ta'ala made us such, may Allah make us, that we are able to smile with those that are around us. And we are able to make them smile. As for the people who are foreign to us, we show them a noble character without having to show them the smile of the mouth and the twinkle of the eye. Allah Ta'ala grant us all understanding. Inshallah, we'll call now Haji Yusuf Desai from Stanger.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala Rasulil Kareem. Naqsh Qadam Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ke Jannat ke raaste, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu se milte hain Sunnat ke raaste. Jis tarah Ashar Hazrat Awdada Sheikh Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me tawfiq to go to Karachi with Hazrat Shafqat Hazrat took me to Karachi. And one safar, there are many things that are outstanding, but one thing that has stuck in my mind, one safar we went, Hazrat, one is the Hazrat's room in the Khanqa, then is the door of the Khanqa, then is the door, the boundary wall of the whole Khanqa and Masjid. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah came right to the boundary wall of the whole Madrasa and Khanqa, and then he said to me, ke dekho, ek cheez yaad rakhna. Ek lamha, ek saas, apne Allah ko naraaz mat karna. Ek lamha, ek saas, apne Allah ko naraaz mat karna. Aur agar galti ho jaye, itne ro, itni maafi mango, jisse ki jaan nikal jaye. Allah give me tawfiq. Also, one of my friends told me, must speak a little bit about Hazrat. Allah give me tawfiq. I mean, with Hazrat one time, Hazrat Kim Sahib Rahmatullah was to UK. And I think it was a suffer about plus minus 20, 25 years, a bit longer, I can't remember. At that time, Hazrat used to take apple cider vinegar in the morning, and with water and honey. So when we reached UK, I didn't have apple cider vinegar, so I went and bought, not knowing my nadani, I went and bought concentrated vinegar. And I gave her the concentrated vinegar for almost a month. And we did the whole of Dewsbury and Preston and Manchester and all that. When we came back to London the day before we could leave in the flat, I tasted the vinegar. I couldn't even put it down my throat. Now trembling, how to go and ask Hazrat for maafi. I went by Hazrat, I said, Hazrat, maafi, I did this. Adal was against Adal, I shall taste it before giving it to Hazrat. Hazrat, every, not one day he showed any sign on his face that he's not happy or anything. And the last day when I told him that, then Hazrat said, the reply is something that you must remember. Yahandu aprafaidu wasa. He pacified me so, you know, I was just dumbfounded. He said, Yahandu aprafaidu wasa. And once after Alhamdulillah, we went to Pakistan, Hazrat's bag got left. So the next day was Friday, and Hazrat to make ghusl, so Alhamdulillah managed to get a pair of clothing for Hazrat. And Alhamdulillah, we had everything done, ready for him. And I put my towel in the bathroom. Hazrat and Hazrat Shah came out. So I had made arrangements to use one of the classrooms, other showers. The Hazrat told me, you can use the shower there. So I went to the shower. Hazrat used the towel exactly half. Hazrat used the towel exactly half, he left the other half for me. Look at how much Hazrat considered us. One step we were doing the south coast, we went to, I think it was Shell Cross, Amzinto, Ikopo, Amzinkulu, Harding, and we reached Kokstad quite late in the night. It must be 10, 11 o'clock at night. Somebody had phoned Hazrat and insisted that Hazrat comes to Matatiyah. From Kokstad to Matatiyah was approximately an hour's drive. We were tired after all this stuff, and Hazrat, I was only driving. Hazrat's program was Hazrat right through, all, maybe five, six programs a day. Hazrat made a decision that we will leave before Fajr. Hazrat sacrificed everything just to spread deen and to fulfill the talab of the person. We left before Fajr, and we reached Matati, and we had a program, and we came back. And Allah gave us tawfiq to make qada of Hazrat. Allah forgive me, maaf. I caused the most amount of speculation to Hazrat. Allah forgive me. And Allah shukr. Allah gave me tawfiq. We made much with Hazrat. There was one alim who came from East Africa, Burundi, for some madrasa work. He had contacted Mufti Ibrahim Salvi Sahib of Escott. Mufti Sahib sent him with a letter to me. So then I made mashwara. Hazrat said, no, don't go now. Then we were in Marisburg, and Hazrat said, okay, now you can go. So Mufti Sahib, Ibrahim Sahib said, okay, we'll go together. And so we went together, alhamdulillah. Allah shukr, we went there, I think the first time was 2012 or 13, I can't remember exactly. But alhamdulillah, that was the first ever his jalsa in that country. And after that time, Hazrat Zuhaz and Tawajuhat, Allah's Fazl, we managed to build a madrasa there. Today we got approximately 1,000, I'm not exaggerating, we made mashwara about this, approximately 1,000 madrasas in East Africa. The country that we're doing work in, Burundi, it's bordered by four countries, Tanzania, Congo, and Rwanda. So in all those countries, alhamdulillah, we've got three alims from India, they are there, and work is taking place. Alhamdulillah, we go from time to time, Allah shukr. We had some difficulties, the government didn't want us to continue with the madrasa, they closed the madrasa. Allah gave us tawfiq with mashwara. We started madrasas in the masjids of the different towns, small towns. Alhamdulillah, we just went a few weeks ago, returned from there. Allah shukr, there's 27 kuffars that qualify from there. Burundi has got a population of approximately 20 million, plus minus 20%. 20% are Muslims, and they got very colorful deen. Alhamdulillah, with Mashwar al-Hazrat, Allah's tawfiq, Allah's Hazrat, I go in Ramadan. They are ready to make amal. Two short things. One, Hazrat Salim, amongst the students I spoke, I said, we must cover the Quran Sharif. The next sabak of this, they came with Quran Sharif covered. And that was one. So that's the talab they've got. The other one is when they eat, the dasturkhan gets a bit messed, and then they leave it. So I told him about keeping the dasturkhan clean. The next meal, the dasturkhan was clean. They're ready to follow immediately. And they're very, very poor. They are very, very poor, but yet they are very, very soft. And they got great talab of deen, alhamdulillah. We have got the Tadribul Mu'allimin. Every 3 or 4 months we bring in 20 ustads from different areas. And they get training in our madrasa and they go. And now we open about 5 different branches. One place is in Kayanza, another one is in Rumenga, other one is in Gozi, and we got one in Pirondo. Alhamdulillah, shukr. Now with Allah's fazl, we are starting similar thing in Tanzania, inshallah. Approximately 2,000 masjids, there is no talimi activity taking place at all. And the area that is close to Rwanda, to Burundi, from the capital of Tanzania, approximately they say it takes 2 days by car. So the Jamaat will not go there, but then there's no continuity. So there's a great talab for deen, there's a great thirst for deen. May Allah accept our work, and Allah takes more work from us today, inshallah.
Jazakumullah ahsan al-jaza. Allah tabarakallah bless us all, that we can have a share somewhere in the world. Allah tabarakallah allows us, despite us not being at all worthy of anything, to be able to be used for the khidmat of deen. The world is very, very huge, broad. Almighty Allah looks at an intention in the heart. That person who starts with an intention, oh Allah, I want to go, I want to find, I want to do. Almighty Allah opens up doors. As we can hear from Haji Yusuf Sahab, miracles have been made by those that are alims, those that are non-alims also. May Allah tabarakta bless us all with the ability to make khidmat of his deen till our last breath. The reason why a person needs spiritual guidance in this field: physical illnesses are easily discerned, whereas spiritual illnesses are hidden and not recognized. Number 2, it is not compulsory to take treatment for physical illness, but permissible. However, it is compulsory to take treatment for spiritual illnesses and to rid oneself of these ailments. Number 3, as long as a person has a physical illness, he is rewarded by Almighty Allah. Spiritual illnesses, however, cause a person to be in the anger of Almighty Allah at all times. Number 4, physical illnesses cause a person to become closer to Almighty Allah, since they remind one of death. Spiritual illnesses, however, causes a person to become distant from Almighty Allah in the creation. Number 5, physical illnesses terminate with death, but the harmful effects of spiritual illnesses will remain right through into the year after. May Allah tabarakallah save us all. Inshallah we will call Maulana Marwan from Cape Town.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. وبعد، فقال قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في محكم كتابه: بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها، قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن في جسد لمضغة، وإذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله، وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله، ألا وهي القلب. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. When I heard I had to speak, then I was so nervous. I'm still nervous. I wanted to run to the toilet and I wanted to say no and all of these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah make this inshallah also part of my islah. And I feel very honored that I can be in the company of the mashayikh, especially Maulana Abdul Hamid and all the other Murideen, the Khulafa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. May Allah accept you, inshallah. There are so many benefits for myself coming from Cape Town that I come here and I, inshallah, like Hazrat was saying yesterday also, that when we come here, then come here to be here and come here to listen attentively. And also come here not just to listen, but listen to remember. And make a niyyah to remember. And then also to make amal. So, inshallah, I ask Allah that may Allah make it such that I can make amal. And then also to propagate. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really has given me the opportunity to propagate also. So Hazrat was saying very something very profound yesterday, that that when someone says something, immediately then you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you that. Or he says, make salawat. Like Maulana Yunus Dahir was saying, make salawat. Immediately you should have made salawat, like Hazrat was saying. But however, It is that all of these things that we learn, it is that we must try and put it in practice. To put into practice, it is a choice that we make. Inshallah, may Allah make it easy that we can make that choice to put it in practice. And then, I just want to say that, you know, for us, myself, as a student, also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed, you know, myself and many of us, you know, to be in the company of the Salihin. Because if one has to look back where we have been, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us, and took us out of the dhulumat, and brought us into the light, may Allah make it easy that we can see that light. And may Allah make it such that we can appreciate that light. You know, this one very profound thing that Hazrat has also made mention of, and that was that we must make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must endow us with all the qualities that will bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's acceptance on us. Imagine that, just that one thing. That is really, really, for me, it's very profound, very ajeeb. Because if I have all of that qualities that will make Allah's acceptance come on me, then it means I will be successful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. Inshallah, with your Ameen, may Allah endow me first of all with that, and all of us inshallah. And may Allah bless Hazrat inshallah for every nasiha that is given, especially now in this gathering here. You know, all of us, we come in, we take benefit from Hazrat. You know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Hazrat Jannah bila khitab. And all of us also inshallah. You know, for I think that it's a real need. You know, I can't expound on all of the advices that has been given, but the thing that is very profound of this particular gathering, it is that a person learns that how to connect oneself to Allah. One learns that how a person can connect oneself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the advices, the ahadith and the Qur'an. Sometimes we learn the ayat of the Qur'an, we learn the ahadith, but the deeper form of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ahadith, those things, alhamdulillah, the ulama, ya, mashaAllah, you have really did so much explanations for us, and I think everyone does appreciate it. So I think we should also say, mashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. May Allah keep that with us, inshaAllah. Then, I think that this is a need, not only for the people in Cape Town, but I think right around the world. Everywhere, I think everyone is in need of Islah. You know, I'm going to say something secret of myself, you know, and inshallah, I want you to take this, inshallah, I'm trying to point out that I have done something. But alhamdulillah, I went for Umrah, and when I came back, Hazrat was by our masjid, Bikudratillah. And as I was traveling back, I was thinking, you know, it would have been much better for me to have sat with Hazrat in these type of gatherings, even before I went to Makkah. And the reason for that is, one thing was playing in my mind, and the other thing was, I'm trying to understand it. It is that our Mashaykh also tells us, even before you go for Umrah, even before you go for Hajj, go and sit with a Murshid. Go and sit with your Sheikh, so that the Sheikh can explain to you how to have the adab of Makkah, and how to have the adab of Medina. Adab is something that is very, very important, and so much important that if we bring this in our lives and in our children's lives, inshallah, maybe Allah will make them ulama, or Allah will make their offspring ulama. May Allah make it easy, inshallah. And these three things, inshallah, just to end off. You know, there was one advice, and also here, they were speaking about rahmah, they were speaking about tawadu', they were speaking about ikhlas. And I remember one qissa that Haji Ahmad Nakhuda, he was relating from Mona Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, that said that, you know, his muridin told him, Sheikh, mashallah, you're on such a high daraja. How did you come on that daraja? And then what has happened was, the Mona Rashid Ahmad Gangohi said, you know, one day, there was one person. He first said, you know, I was a bad person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted me. He said that there was one person who was a highway robber. And he said for his whole life, he used to live like this. He used to eat off this. And from this, one day he came and he said, no, I must change my life. And when he wanted to change his life, he said, you know, maybe I must go sit with the Sheikh. And inshallah, if I sit with the Sheikh, inshallah, my life will change. So he went to the bush, took his tusk, he put on his thobe, and he went there, and he sat in the bush, and he started just making dhikr. You know, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Some people saw him. He said, Noah, this must be a big Sheikh, man. So they went there and they said, Sheikh, you know what? Make dua for us. And then the one told the other one, they brought some food for the Sheikh. And the others told the others. Next thing you knew it, there was a big kafla. Lots of people were sitting with the Sheikh. Now they said, Sheikh, give us some of that calf to read. And then what had happened was, Sheikh said, you will remember, someone told me about La ilaha illallah. He said, read La ilaha illallah. Read lot of La ilaha illallah. And then what had happened was, they started reading La ilaha illallah. And they went in a very high daraja. To such an extent, the Sheikh said, okay, now I must put on my imama. Probably like me. You know, now I put on my imama. And I have to put on my jubba. You know, like my ustaz, he says, you know, you know, you're keeping yourself like, you know, I'm out there, subhanAllah, may Allah make it there. You must be very humble. So he said that the Sheikh then started wearing like this, people started coming and he started giving them, say, La ilaha illallah. And then after a while, the Muridin went on a very high daraja. Then they said, we must make mashwara. That, you know, on what daraja is the Sheikh? Because they couldn't figure out the Sheikh was too high. He said, what daraja is the Sheikh? The Sheikh must be on a very high daraja. They couldn't figure out. He said, let's go ask. So they went to the Sheikh. They said, Sheikh, on what daraja are you? The Sheikh said, what do you mean? He said, yeah, what daraja? He said, no, I'm on no daraja. He said, no, my Sheikh, subhanAllah, we can't find out on which level you are on. You must be very high. Sheikh said, I'm on no daraja. I'm just telling you to read la ilaha illallah, that's all. So he said, Sheikh, no, man, please come out with the story. And the Sheikh said, you know what? I think that I must tell you guys, because of the company of the Muridin and how truthful they were, that Sheikh also became very truthful. Like us also, we changed. Why was it here in the company? Then we changed. So the Sheikh also changed and he said, you know what? I'll tell you the truth. I was a highway robber. I used to steal, I used to rob people, and I used to eat from this, and this, I used to live. And then the Sheikh said, the Muridin were perplexed and they said, no, Sheikh, this can't be true. How come this, you're saying this? No, man, don't lie. Sheikh said, I'm telling the truth. For a long while, the Sheikh was debating with him and telling him, telling the truth. Then, they believed him. They got shocked. They said, the Sheikh, man. He lied to us. But then they went back, and they made mashwara again. He said, what are we going to do? Then they said, you know what? Because the Sheikh brought us on this daraja, let's make dua for him, that Allah must put him on that daraja. They made dua for him, and Allah put him on that daraja. So Mullah Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, he was so humble, he said, you know, that was also me. Because of you people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me like this. MashaAllah, you, this gathering here also, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has changed me. Just inshallah, last two is, so always be humble. Be humble. Mullah Haji Ahmad Nakhuda was saying, also never look at anyone cheap line. You know, never look at anyone cheap line. Respect everyone. Don't speak rude to anyone. If you see them for the first time, don't look down on them. Don't trample on them. Be good to them. Nabi Sultan's akhlaq. And this type of gathering teaches us akhlaq. And then another quality is the quality of ikhlas. But before I get to ikhlas, yeah, inshallah, ikhlas. Must always try. And whatever we do, shaitan won't get that person down at his ikhlas. Now, Waqabirin, there's many stories, subhanAllah. Hazrat has shared with us last night stories about a lady that she was repeating after the adhan. You know the stories that we hear about saying, mashaAllah, inshaAllah, all of these different qisas. SubhanAllah, it just forms us, it just makes us something. Tomorrow when we look at things, all of these things comes and it depicts something and then we start to judge pertaining to what we understand of what our mashayikh taught us. So it cleanses our heart and it makes our minds right and it makes us follow out the right things. So ikhlas, so there was one particular incident that one person, he was going to go for Hajj, and at this particular time, you know, his wife was, she was Hamil. And then the night time, his wife said, woke him up and said, listen, I want to eat meat now. So what has happened was, this is the end of inshallah. She said, I want to eat meat now. And then he said, okay, go. Then he went out to his neighbor. And when he went to the neighbor said, he was smelling some meat coming from this house. Then he said, listen, I want some meat from you. Can you please give to my family, you know, at home? So he said, I can't give you this meat. So he said, why not? You, my neighbor, give me some meat. He said, no, I can't. He said that, you know what? This is actually dog meat. And he said that for 4 days, my family never ate anything. And then what has happened was, He got a shock. He was thinking, my neighbors is down the road. I didn't even know that. He doesn't have any to eat. He went back home. And then he made his niyyah to take all his hajj money and give it to that particular person. When he went there to give the money, then what had happened was, at that particular year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not going to accept 3 million people's hajj. How it works, this is what our mashayikh has taught us. But because of this one person's ikhlas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of what he did, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted 3 million people's hajj. So ikhlas, my dear brothers, is a very, very important thing to have. May Allah first of all endow me with that, and all of us inshallah, and jazakum khair, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jazakum Allah, salam jazah. By remaining in the company of a spiritual guide, many benefits will be derived. May Allah tawarukala bless us with these benefits. Few of which are, the qualities in the shaykh will gradually come into one. A person will become aware of his faults. A person will gain enthusiasm as well as courage to engage in more acts of worship and abstain from sin. The love of Almighty Allah will be created in the heart. A person will be cured by their spiritual treatment as there is blessings in their teachings. A person will attain their du'as. Their hearts are illuminated by the light of Almighty Allah. By remaining in their company, one will attain this light. When light appears, darkness flees. Through this light, the reality of things become exposed and doubts disappear. May Almighty Allah bless us that we are all able to take benefit from our mashayikh. May Allah Tabarakallah protect us from showing rudeness, bad character, bad adab in front of our mashayikh and being deprived of their blessings. Inshallah, we will call upon Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Saleh Jisab from Escort.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين. All praise is due to Allah, the Master of the world. Peace and salutations, durood and salawat be upon our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in great abundance forever and ever. Mawlana Norman Saab of Cape Town just mentioned that he was very nervous that when he heard that he's going to be giving a bayan, and he's still nervous. If he was nervous, then I don't know what I am. In the hadith it comes that on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah will bring one of his servants for questioning, كَأَنَّهُ بَزَجْ, that he will be a bazaj. Bazaj is that calf that has just been born when he struggles to stand up. So that is how the legs wobble. So that is my condition at this moment. In the olden days, the shuyukh used to put the murid through mujahada before making bath. So this is my imtihan also, I think. That if I remember correctly, Hazrat Maulana Masihullah alayhi rahma once mentioned about the Shaykh Maulana Abdul Quddus Gangohi alayhi rahma, whose Shaykh's progeny had come to him for bath. And he put him through a great test where he told him that I'm going hunting, you hold on to my dogs. And the dogs started running and he could not pull them back and he was dragged on the ground. And the shaykh came, it was Hazrat Abdul Quddus Sahib, most probably it was Hazrat Abdul Quddus Sahib, Gangohi alayhi rahma, and he said, I did not put you through to this, such a severe test, and you are putting my progeny into such a test. So inshallah, my test is not as severe as that, but there is umid that inshallah I will pass with your du'as. Respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran and Majeed, those that strive in His path, then we will open for them the doors of guidance. I used to always make sharah of this in this way, that God in the path of Allah, there is mujahada. You'll be leaving your home, there is mujahada. Until I read Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib's one bayan, in which he mentioned that the mujahada that we should be making is the mujahada of our nafs. That just as a sesame seed, once it is polished and shined, and it is kept with rose petals, then the oil that emanates from that sesame seed will have the smell and the fragrance of rose. So like that, when we make mujahada on our nafs, and what is this mujahada of the nafs? That to suppress our desires, and to fulfill the command of Allah. Wherever our desire wants us to go, in the disobedience of Allah, whether it is as regards our eyes, or whether it is as regards our wealth, or whether it is as regards our pleasure that we derive when talking bad about others and making ghibah, to suppress those desires, to make mujahada upon that. And then, when we're in the company of the mashayikh, then the rung of the mashayikh will enter us and we will gain closeness and proximity to Allah. So in this regard, I have written down a few ash'ar. I will not be singing them, but I will be reading them. This is the hidayat from my wife. She always says, whenever I try to sing in front of her, says, please don't sing in any bayan, because you will embarrass me. Ae dil, e shakar khushtar, ya aake shakar shazad. O heart, is sugar more sweet, or the creator of sugar. So that desire that we have translated shakar, sugar, into the haseen, be parda haseenon ne dil ko tang kiya, aankhon ne satana shuru kiya dil ko, that the be parda beauties of this world, translate the shakar as that what is sweeter, the creator of those be parda haseenas or the be parda haseenas? Obviously it is the creator. A dil e qamar khushtar ya aake qamar saazad. Is the moon more beautiful, or is the creator of the moon? By suppressing our desires, we will be gaining the creator of the moon. In another line, Hazrat says, Na tera dil, na teri jaan chahiye. We do not need your heart nor your life. Unko tujhse kuna arman chahiye. All he wants is the blood of your longing and desires. All he wants, all that Allah wants, is the blood of your longing and desires. Those desires that which we suppress, and the heart suppresses that pain, that is what is wanted, that we are suppressing our desires for the creator, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is his obedience. If you look at all our ibadat, what is it? It is an expression of love. How is it an expression of love? A lover for his beloved will sacrifice his food, his clothing, everything. If there's a small piece of barfi, for example, and you have a beloved, you will love to give that to your beloved. That is our roza for a beloved who is staying away from food. Not that we're giving that food to Allah, but for the pleasure of Allah, we are sacrificing our food. In a similar manner, a lover likes to be with the beloved, likes to be in communion with the beloved. That is why 5 times a day, the lover comes to the masjid to be in communion with the beloved. Salah is communion with the beloved. And in a similar manner, that the ultimate is, the lover likes to be in touch with the beloved, likes to go to the house of the beloved. That for the entire night, if the beloved says that I will come onto the balcony at 2 in the morning. Then from after Isha, the beloved will want to go and stand under the tree outside the house, because the beloved is going to come and I will be able to see my beloved's face. So in this way, the lover goes and spends the entire night outside the house of the beloved. That is our Umrah and Hajj, that we go to the house of the beloved to be in contact with the beloved. So in a similar manner, what we sacrifice to gain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is essential. ہم نے لیا ہے داغ دل کھو کے بہار زندگی ہم نے لیا ہے داغ دل کھو کے بہار زندگی The spring of life we have sacrificed and taken the pain of the heart. Why? To attain the beloved. To attain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another line, Hazrat mentions, Ek gulistan ke waaste humne chaman luta diya hai. For one beautiful rose, we have lost the entire garden. All the beauties of this world we do not mind losing to gain that one beautiful rose, to gain our Creator. Ek qatra wo agar hota to chup bhi jata. If the blood through the pain of the sacrifice for submission to the will of Allah, if it was just one droplet, ek qatra agar wo hota to chup bhi jata, then we could have hidden it. Kis tarah paap chupayegi loh ka darya. How can we ever hide the rivers of blood that we are suffering due to the pangs of suppressing our desire to be in close proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq of making amal. This morning we heard that the purpose of this jalsa is how we can make islah of our aqaid, how we can make islah of our ibadat, our mu'asharat, and our mu'amalat, and our akhlaqiyat. As regards aqaid, I'd like to mention that the onslaught, as Hazrat mentioned, by means of the various media upon the iman of our youth is tremendous. The onslaught is such that it is very easy now for children. We come into contact with children because we have an Islamic school, that for them to say that what is the purpose of this, what is the purpose of that, has become very easy. And we do not know whether they and their parents are still in the fold of Islam. One waqia, which one Maulana Abdul Rahman, the student of Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Mautana Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi of Bari, mentioned to me, he is running an Islamic school in New York. He says that there was a young girl in his madrasa, in his Islamic school, Sumayya by name. She was a very young girl, grade 3, grade 4. Her father was from Bangladesh, Bengali, was an engineer, but in New York he was not getting a job. So one day he came and says, I want a transfer card, I'm going to the south, to Texas probably, Houston in Texas, and I will take my childhood. This girl was a bright child, so the father, the Maulana said, no, we'll try and arrange a job for you. He says, no, now it's too late. Now, 1 year I was without a job, I was battling too much, I need to go. He took his daughter away. After 1-2 months, this Bengali brother phones and says, Maulana, I need expert advice. I've got a court case coming up. He says, what happened? What court case you've got? You say you got a job. He says, no, Sumayya's madam came into the class and she said to the whole class, I love you, who loves me? So all the children put up their hands, we love you, madam, we love you, madam. Then she wrote on the board, I am an atheist. Who is an atheist like me? So all the children put up their hands. Then you, Sumayya, you didn't put up your hands. No, I'm a Muslim. And why are you a Muslim? Because your mother and father are Muslims. And what if your mother and father are morons? Then I'll be an atheist like you, madam, I'll be a moron like you. That was a great insult to the madam. So she laid a charge of defamation that in front of all the children she called me a moron. The fact that she called her Sumaya's parents a moron was no problem. Now we have to prove in court that what Sumaya said, that she's a Muslim, and why she's a Muslim, I need expert advice for it. So Maulana said, where are you going into this long chakkar and all that? Just ignore it and have an out-of-court settlement. He insisted. Some people say, I don't know if there are any Bengalis here, but with apologies, that when a Bangladeshi says something, he wants to do it, he does it. Yeah. Dimag ke bahut sakht hote hain. What they say they want to do, they'll do it. Maulana Jafar Sahib is not understanding, so it's okay. Maulana Jafar Sahib hai? Nazar nahi aa raha. Ji. So Maulana, he sent the ticket for Maulana, and Maulana sent one of his ustads, another Ali. The flight was delayed, there was a traffic jam, and he reached the court late. Meanwhile, the professor that had come from the university to give expert evidence in court on behalf of the madam, to ask the magistrate that, can I speak while you are waiting? I see a lot of Muslims here. So he says, we believe in that which we see. What we see exists. What we do not see does not exist. You see these files here of the magistrate? He picked them up. They exist. Can you see your Allah? Picks up the chair, picks up the files. I can't see Allah, so Allah does not exist. Nobody's got an answer. So Sumaya knocks her mother and says, Mummy, let me answer. So Sumaya's mother says, Daddy is here. Daddy's friends are here, they're doctors and lawyers and teachers. You be fit. You're a girl school. So he challenges again. He asks the magistrate, Sir, can you see any Allah here? What we see is believable. What we do not see, we do not believe in. 3 minutes, I have to conclude in 3 minutes. I could have made it long and exciting, but I'll remove the suspicion. Or not suspicion, the suspense. So, when he challenges again, Sumaya stops asking her mother, she jumps onto the bench. Sir, I will answer your question. Sir, I think you do not have brains. Because I cannot see your brains, I cannot feel your brains, I cannot touch your brains. And what exists, you say you can see, you can touch, you can feel. Sir, girl, you are too small. My baby, sit down, I'll tell you. That some things you recognize by signs. Some things you recognize by signs. You see my buttons are all buttoned correctly. You see my cap is on correctly. You see my lace is tied correctly. That shows that I've got brains and I'm using it, therefore I'm behaving like that. That my beard is shaved properly. His beard, not my beard. So then, Sumaya said, but I don't think you have a heart also. You are heartless and brainless. Says, girl, see, you can feel my pulse. That is a sign that I have a heart that is beating and I'm alive. So she turns around and says, you believe that, but you do not believe that this huge sky that is standing without any pillars, there was somebody that made it. There are signs that it has been made by somebody. Because this chair cannot come into existence of its own, it was made by somebody. So how will this huge sky and the earth and the trees and human beings all coming to existence of its own. These were all made. That is why we believe in it. That magistrate was an anti-Muslim, but he phoned Maulana up, finally after making inquiries where this girl studied, and he became a Muslim also. And if I remember correctly, he left his job and started teaching at the school, at the Islamic school. So respected elders and brothers, these onslaughts from the secular schools, it will always exist. Like in a university, a lecturer stood up and said, what exists and what is acceptable is testable and doable. It is testable and doable. This world came into existence through evolution. My boy, he calls one Muslim brother who had his tupi on the campus in his lecture, and he says, "Stand up. Do you believe in God?" He says, "Yes, sir, I believe." He says, "Is God good or bad?" Good. My brother died of cancer. If God was good, why did he make him suffer and die? He's left behind two small children and a widow. If God was good, would he do that? There was a tornado in America, and so many houses were destroyed. There are bushfires in Australia, and so many houses and so many acres, hectares of land have been destroyed. Animals are dying. If God was good, then why would he do such evil things? Boy, answer me. Come in front and answer. This young Muslim boy, perhaps he didn't study at Siratul Haq, so he is shaking. Another boy with a kurta and topi says, "Sir, can I answer?" He says, "Come, come. There's a Samaritan." With apologies to Maulana Ridwan, sir. "There's a Samaritan wanting to defend his religion. Come in front. Sir, are you good or bad?" What relevance does this have to do with my question of whether God is good or bad? "Sir, I'm asking a simple question. Are you good or bad?" "Well, I'm good." "Sir, if you are good, why do you all take money from us to come and study here? And you said, so difficult exams, and then I have to study hard and spend sleepless nights to answer those questions. You must be bad." He's puzzled now. Says, "Sir, you believe in the Big Bang theory and not in the Creator who created everything. And there is intelligence in the creation. Everything, there is a system that if there is so much of oxygen in the air, then the atmosphere will not be so combustible and there will not be wildfires. But carbon dioxide is also prevalent at a certain level, and that is why this world is running, because it is the doing of Allah. You do not believe in that, sir. Isn't that true?" "Yes." "Sir, you say that there was a Big Bang. In this world, we know that to detonate anything, even a firecracker, we need some mastic or something to ignite that firecracker. It will not just explode on its own. A gun and a bullet, the hammer has to strike the clip at the back, and then the bullet will fire. Just like that, you take the bullet and throw it, nothing is going to happen. There has to be some mechanism to make it explode. What was that first thing that made that explosion take place that created this Big Bang?" The professor is going red and green. So one boy brings him a glass of water. The professor was going through at that time into the student's face. "Answer, my boy, answer, my boy." Now the student is going, "Sir, could you please answer this simple question? Who started off that first stage, that first explosion? What was the catalyst for that first explosion?" "And sir, you say that science, in science you only believe that which is doable and testable. Have you created such an explosion again in the after that first explosion? Why has there been no such other explosions?" Dumbfounded. And all those students in the classroom, the lecturer began clapping and says, "The student has won. There is Allah, and nobody can deny the existence of Allah. Allah is the supreme creator, Allah is the doer, and Allah alone is in charge and in control." We need to talk about this to our children also, so that their iman remains firm, because like this, there are numerous people that are trying to make attacks upon the yaqeen. In the past it was that this aspect of Islam or this aspect of Islam is not right. But now it is Allah himself does not exist, wa na'udhu billah, which never existed in our times when we were growing up, but our children are facing this onslaught, and we need to keep talking about to them about the existence of Allah, and Allah is in charge and Allah is in control. Wa aqulu da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
جزاكم الله احسن الجزاء الله تبارك وتعالى save us all, save our progenies. Allah tabarak tala, let iman never ever leave our houses, leave the houses of our progenies. Together with effort, one should make dua to Almighty Allah for purification of our nafs. Almighty Allah states, "If it is not for the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah upon you, none of you would have ever become purified. However, Almighty Allah purifies whomsoever He wishes." There is no end limit to one's reformation. A person has to continue reforming himself till death. The moment a person is lax, he will begin slipping. May Almighty Allah purify our heart from evil characteristics, imbue it with beautiful qualities, and grant us His love and connection. Ameen.